I want to share something with you here tonight from a couple passages in the Word of God. I want you to turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 27, just a moment. Psalm chapter 27. I had my laptop here for the class this evening at 5, so when I got the text that he wanted me to cover for tonight, I had to write it out by hand on a piece of paper here. So you pray for me that I can be able to read my own writing here tonight. But I thank the Lord. You know, there's a lot of folks today that are just so afraid of getting sick, and they're afraid to go anywhere. They're afraid to do anything. They're afraid to breathe. They're afraid to eat. They're afraid to drink anything. And fear, it just seemed like, boy, it has just encompassed us all around. But you know, in our world today, there are so many things that people fear and are afraid of. And, you know, death and uncertainty of life is one of those things. Our political environment and what the future holds for finances and people's jobs, that's something that people fear today. They're afraid of these things. People fear disease. They fear starvation. They fear famine. And the lack of things, okay? They fear losing the things that they have. Houses, automobiles, boats, cars, all kinds of things. They fear those things, and they fear the lack of having things in general. They fear people. And the seeming lack of trust that can be found in people, friends, job positions, doctors and medical facilities, neighbors, and even casual acquaintances. Fear seems to have taken over things and literally gripped the hearts of people all across our world today. They're afraid of war. They're afraid of rumors of wars. They're afraid of civil unrest all around us, as well as constant outbreaks of diseases and all these things that they're wanting you to get a shot for this and a shot for that. Global pestilence and pestilences and pandemics and all these things. People are just fearful of many, many things in our world today. But you know, in the book of Psalms, we see many examples that God gave unto the psalmist. And he gave examples of where the children of God were commanded not to fear. Not to fear, not to be afraid, not to worry, not to fret because of evildoers. And the psalmist even shows us why we need not fear the world around us. And I want us to look tonight at two such examples in the book of Psalms tonight. And then we'll go into the message. But I want to share this with you tonight, two examples from the book of Psalms. The first one here is found in Psalm chapter 27 and verse number 1. And here the psalmist writes, "The Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, I want you to notice in this one verse how many different things we see and that we need to take note of this evening as we look at this, just this one verse. I want you to notice, number one, that no one but the Lord could be his light. No one but the Lord. Hey, folks, no one but the Lord can be your light, my light tonight, because there's nothing out there that gives light like the Lord God does. Amen. Hey, no one but the Lord can be my light. Notice number two, no one but the Lord can be my salvation. There's no one out there that can do or did do or ever will do what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. He is the salvation that we have. No one but the Lord can be my strength. Think about that. When you're weak and you're weary and you're just down and out, there's no one but the Lord that can be the strength that you need to have tonight. But look at this, number four. No one but the Lord can be my rock. Boy, all around this world, there are slippery sands of confusion and just things that are not true. And boy, it just scares folks. They don't know where to stand. They don't know where to put their trust. But I'm telling you tonight, I've got a rock tonight, amen? And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one but the Lord could be my rock. No one but the Lord could be my help in time of need. Boy, David experienced this so many times. When there was no one there that could help him but the Lord God. And he recognized the fact that the Lord was his help. No one but the Lord could be his hope and his deliverer. Now you think about that. When Saul was chasing after David, and for so many years Saul chased him and just seemed to hunt him down, tried to hunt him down and hurt him, do him harm. The Lord God was David's hope. And the Lord God alone was his deliverer. And folks, he's your hope tonight. He's my hope tonight. He's my deliverer tonight. That's the Lord my God. But look at this, number 7. No one but the Lord could be my courage and strength of heart. Look what he said. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why? Because the Lord is the strength of my life. He's my strength tonight. Thank God for a Savior like our Savior today. Amen. I'm thankful for that. But the second passage I want you to look at is over in Psalm chapter 37. Look at this. Psalm chapter 37, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I've only got 1,189 favorite chapters in the Bible. But this is one of them, amen? This is one of them. Psalm chapter 37, verse number 25, David seems to just sum all the things up that he has learned through the years about trusting the Lord God. When fear encompassed him, when distress came upon him, he writes these words, and he said, and I love this so much, he said, I've been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Man, what was David trying to tell us here? Simply this. That through it all, through all the heartaches, through every situation that may come in life, through every temptation, through the times of doubt, and even in times of fear, it was the Lord God who was faithful in all those things. Amen. He was faithful. And he is faithful today, folks. And I want you to see this today, because God is faithful, you can trust the Lord. And you can know that it's all right to simply follow the Lord in all that you do. Many times we think, well, Lord, if I start to serve you, what will people say? Well, what will they say if you don't serve him and you claim to be a Christian? What will they say? What will they say when they stand before God? Those folks have never been saved yet and you've never told them about Christ. What will they say when you stand before God? When they stand before God and they're cast into the lake of fire and you watch them being cast there and you never took time to tell them about Jesus. Folks, you can trust the Lord and you can know that it's all right to simply follow the Lord in all that you do. You follow him. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight. Don't be afraid to simply trust and obey his word. These two verses in the book of Psalms show us that we don't have to fear tonight in following the Lord Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of doing what God said do. Because we've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. We've got a Savior that will be there with us everywhere we go. And he'll be that friend. He'll be that guide. He'll be that one to lift us when we're low. And he'll humble us when we're full of pride. And he'll be there to help us. So I want to preach to you this message tonight, simply entitled, Don't Be Afraid to Follow Jesus. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. Let's pray just a moment and then we'll have the message. Father, Lord, I do love you tonight. And I do thank you so much, God, for your salvation. Lord, your faithfulness to lead and to guide and to direct in all aspects of life. And Lord, I know that these are fearful times to be living in. We don't know what's going to happen in our world. We don't know what's going to happen around us in our own neighborhoods today. We just don't know. But Father, I'm glad to know that you're in control of things. And it's all right. Lord, we don't have to be afraid in order to follow you. We just trust you and we willingly obey. And I pray, God, tonight that you'll bless this message. Use it to strengthen your people. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Many a child of God is, well, they're following many strange voices in our world today. And I'm talking about Christians are following after many strange voices today. I've heard folks say, well, I think the Lord is leading me to do this. And what they're going to do is contrary to the word of God. That is not God's leading. Hey, listen, I've heard folks say, well, I just believe I need to follow my heart. Listen, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. And we don't need to just follow our heart. We need to learn to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, in our world today, people are being tempted and guided, misguided, I should say, by friends, by family, by foes, and even finances. But very few are following Jesus. And you know, as we look at this message tonight, I want to show you some things tonight. I want to be an encouragement to you amid all the struggles and the difficulties in our lives that we're all going through. Everybody's facing something today. But during the midst of all these things that we're going on with, the struggles, all these things, in the midst of your fears and your temptations, I want to give you something here to help you not give in to the temporal whims of this old world. This old world would have us focus on things that are not eternal. Things that only satisfy the here and now. The things that only satisfy temporarily. And they don't want us to think about eternity. And folks, we need to be thinking about eternity today. With all the things that's going on in our world today, I'm telling you, this ought to be a time that should cause those that say they believe the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, it should cause us to want to live closer to God than we've ever lived before. Amen. Let me tell you why. Because as we watch the things happening around our world, we know that the coming of the Lord is very nigh. Amen. It's closer than it's ever been before. Folks say, oh, I've heard that for many a year. Well, you won't have to hear it very much longer. Because the Lord is coming back again. Amen. Amen. And just as sure as he came the first time, honey, he's coming back the second time. Amen. Now listen to me tonight. I want you to understand some things tonight. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. There were disciples that Jesus called to follow after him. And these men of God, had it not been for their faithfulness to follow the Lord, we would not have this book that we have tonight. We wouldn't have it. We would not have the testimony of what Jesus came into this world to do for us that we might have eternal life. And I want to share some things here with you tonight from their examples of what they went through, what they had to go through in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to first of all turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. And in Matthew chapter number 4 tonight, I want us to look at a few verses. I'm going to read these to you. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 17 through 22. I want to read these verses to you. Listen to what the Bible says. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway, they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now think about that just a moment. They followed after the Lord Jesus. Turn with me now to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke, chapter number 5. And in Luke, chapter number 5, we're going to begin here in verse number 1. Luke, chapter number 5, verse number 1. And the Bible said, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now that is the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. And all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, ladies, that is not a verse for you, okay? All right? I know a young college girl that had that as her favorite verse. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. That is not what that was about, all right? But look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and they followed him. I want to give you just a couple points tonight to help you to understand why you don't need to be afraid to follow Jesus. Number one, I want you to look at this. Don't be afraid of God's calling upon your life. Don't be afraid of God's calling upon your life. When I look here at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, the Bible said that when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I wrote down a thought this afternoon as I was studying on this. And this is what I wrote. He whom God calls, God equips. And God supplies all that is needed to complete that task. So don't be afraid of God's calling upon your life. Let's do it again. He whom God calls, God equips. And God supplies all that is needed to complete that task. So don't be afraid of God's calling upon your life. When Jesus looked at Simon Peter and he said, son, launch out into the deep. And he said, what? We've never been out there before. We've not gone that way before. He said, I want you to go by faith and do what I've commanded you to do. Folks, you and I have been commanded to do a great work for the Lord God. And you know what we do? We like to hover around where we're comfortable, okay? We just like to hover around where we're comfortable. And we're not oftentimes willing to launch out into the deep. You say, preacher, where are you talking about? I'm talking about outside those doors. It's easy to talk to folks inside church. You know, inside these four walls, we're pretty safe and protected, and we feel good about talking to folks about Jesus. But it's when we're to go outside of those doors, when we're to go into our own neighborhood, into the places where we work, and we deal with people, we meet people, we associate with others. That's the deep places that God wants us to go. He wants us to not be afraid of God's calling upon our lives. Number two, he said this, don't be afraid to trust God's word. Don't be afraid to trust God's word. Look at verse 5, Luke chapter 5, verse number 5. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And I can see Simon right now talking to Jesus. And Jesus is standing there. He said, launch out into the deep. Man, we're going to catch a great draft of fishes here. We're going to do something great. And Simon Peter's looking at Jesus. He said, Lord, we have toiled all night. We have worked all night and we've not caught a thing. We haven't gotten anything, Lord. And he looks at the eyes of the Lord Jesus as Jesus looks at him. And his heart just melts. And he said, but nevertheless, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. You know what he was doing here? He was not being afraid to trust God's word. God's word is there to lead us and to guide us and to point us in the right direction. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Folks, listen to me today. We need to not be afraid to trust God's word. Right. Don't be afraid to trust it. You may have tried and even failed under your own power to do certain things for the Lord. You may have said, well, I'm going to start being a soul winner. I'm going to start doing something great for God. I'm going to start singing in the choir. I'm going to start being faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And you're trying to do it in your own power. And you failed. And folks, we don't need to do it in our own power. If we place our faith and trust in God's word, he will never be a failure in God's eyes. You'll never be a failure in God's eyes. Why? Because you put your faith and trust in his word. Amen. Man, I've seen it. I know what God's word says. I know what God will do when I place my faith and trust in this book right here. You need to place your faith and trust there. Don't be afraid to trust in God's word. Number three, this. Don't be afraid to do what God has saved and called you to do. You know what? God has saved each of us for a purpose. You are to be salt and to be light. I am to be salt, a preservative. There are times my legs cramp up and I'll go in at the kitchen table and I'll just get the salt shaker and pour a little bit in my hand. I'll just suck it up and just eat it up. And it helps my legs. It helps them not to cramp. And you know what? Salt is a preservative, okay? It keeps things from getting worse than what they are. Salted ham. Anybody in here like salted ham? I love salted ham. Amen. I salt my salted ham sometimes. I just love it. I love salted pickles. Oh, my goodness. Oh, get some pickle juice in there and put some salt in it and a little... Texas Pete, man, it's so good. Oh my goodness, it's good. Salt can be good. It's a preservative, okay? But listen to me. You and I need not to be afraid to do what God has saved us to do. Amen. I want you to look at verses 6 and 7 here in Luke chapter 5. The Bible said, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, when did their net break? After they cast it into the water. You know what I've heard people say? Oh, I'm just so worried because nobody wants to come to church anymore. How many folks have you invited? How many times have you cast a net to try to catch some fish to get them in? You know what? The Bible said here, and when they had this done. What had they this done? The Bible said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. They trusted the word of God. Amen. And they did what he said do. You know what? I have found out through the years, we got several farmers that live around us. And they got a lot of land out there. They've got a lot of crops that come in. But none of those farmers ever reap a single thing. They never harvest a single crop until they first go out and sow the seed. And folks, that's what our job is to do. Our job is to go out and to sow the seed, to plant the seed. Our job is to be obedient unto the Lord God. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4 just a minute. And in Matthew chapter 4, look what he said in verse 17 through 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. That's verse 22. Go back up to verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That was the job that the Lord God had given unto them, to fish after men. Listen, to go out and to sow the seed, to cast the net. So don't be afraid to do what God has saved you and called you to do. But number four, look at this. The Bible said, don't be afraid to admit your own inability to do anything for God. Don't be afraid to admit your own inability to do anything for God. Well, if I had their talent, I'd be up there singing. Boy, if I could beat one of those kettle drums over there, I'd do that, but I just don't have that talent. Boy, if I could do this, I'd do that. But you know what? The way that some folks talk, they don't have the ability to do anything. I don't know how they survive. I don't know how they live from day to day. You know what we do? We dwell on all the things that we cannot do for God, and we offer them as sacrificial excuses to do nothing for God. Right. And folks, we don't need to be afraid to admit to God, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know what? James wrote this. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, God does not get mad when you go to him and ask him for wisdom and strength and help to know what to do in time of need. When God looked at Solomon, he said, Solomon, ask anything that you'd like to have and it'll be granted unto you. And Solomon went back and he said, Lord, I'm just a child. You've set me up to be the king of Israel. Lord God, I'm just a child. I don't know how to lead this people. Give thy servant wisdom. Wisdom to lead your people. And you know what God did? God gave him wisdom and wealth and all sorts of things so that he was the wisest man that walked the earth. Folks, listen to me today. Don't be afraid to admit the fact to God you don't know what to do. Don't be afraid to admit your own inability. Listen, in Luke chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Bible said when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. You know what that's telling me? They were amazed at what God did through them when they chose to place their faith and trust in the words of the Lord Jesus and obediently do them. They were amazed. And folks, you know what? I stand amazed to see how God could use a little bus kid like me and take me and use me to be able to share the gospel with anybody. But you listen to me today. If God could do that for me, he can do that for you. But you got to want to. Amen. You got to have a desire. And you got to admit your own inability to do anything for God. Number five, very quickly. Don't be afraid to forsake all in order to follow the Lord. I never will forget 1992, Desert Storm and Desert Shield was going on in Iraq. And I was vice president of operations at the business that we had. And we were working three shifts a day, 7 days a week, basically. And my boss, the president, came to me and he said, "I need you to be here 7 days instead of six." He said, "One of these days I'm going to be retiring and you can be the president of this company. You can make lots of money." And he said, "But I need you to be here all the time." And he saw the expression, I guess, on my face when he said that. He said, now, he sat back in this little orange chair. He had a bright orange chair. He sat back in that chair and he folded up his arms. He said, "Now, you can be the president of this company and make lots of money one day, or you can preach. What are you going to do?" And you know what it was like? I could see the Lord Jesus standing behind him. And the Lord standing there with his arms folded and said, "Yeah, son, what you going to do?"
Amen.
And he said, "I'm going to give you a couple days to think about it." And he came back. And he offered to take me to lunch and pay for it. So I knew something was up. And he said, "I want to know what your decision is." At that time, I was running the bus route. I drove my Sunday school bus. I taught a Sunday school class. I preached in the junior church. All those things. I was doing all those things. And I told him, I said, "I come in every Sunday morning before I go to my bus route. I open up the plant. I get things going for you. And then I leave. And the supervisors take care of it. I cannot come in and do this on Sundays anymore. No, can't do it." He said, "Well, that's what I thought you'd say." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to fire you because you've got too many things going on here." He said, "So this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut your pay. $600 a paycheck." And he said, "When you get hungry, you'll come back and you'll do what I've asked you to do." So I had to go home and tell my wife. We had two little children at the house. I sat down at the table across from her. And I told her what I'd been told. And how that he demoted me, basically. But he left me with all the responsibilities that I had. And he said, "When you get hungry, you'll change your mind." And the Lord had already been dealing with my heart about submitting to God's call to preach full time. I didn't know where God wanted to send me. I didn't know if he wanted to send me to the mission field. I didn't know what he wanted to do in my life. I had no idea. And I told my wife, I said, you know, we're just going to have to trust the Lord. And she began to cry. And she said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to do what we've always done. We're going to trust the Lord.
Amen.
And I went back and I told him. And in August of that next year, August of 1993, I turned in my notice. I didn't have a job. I didn't know what I was going to be doing. But I knew that God had a plan for my life. And so I stepped out on faith and I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I know you want me to just trust you. I'm going to do that. I'm going to turn in a 2-month notice. That way we can train people to do what I was doing and we'll be good with it. He would come in every day and say, you're going to starve. You're going to starve. You'd sit right in front of my desk. You and your family all going to starve to death. You're just going to be living from hand to mouth. And one day I looked at him. I said, yeah, you're right. I've thought about it. You're right. I'm going to be living from hand to mouth. But it's God's hand to my mouth.
Amen.
And God's going to take care of us.
Right.
I never will forget when I left there, the pastor where I was at and where I went to church at there, he said, I've been praying that God would open up a door for somebody to come in and help here as an associate. And he said, I'll be willing to start you out here as an associate. Then you learn. And I think he started me out at like $8 an hour or something like that. And I was previously making a lot of money. And you know what? God took care of every need. We never missed a bill. We never missed a meal. You can tell that. I mean, you. God was faithful. He still is faithful. And you know what? We had to be willing to forsake all in order to follow the Lord. I could not be happy serving him halfway. I've heard folks say, well, if I can't give God my all, then I won't give him anything. Folks, that's not the way to think. We don't need to think that way. We need to be willing to forsake all in order to follow him all the way. Paul wrote about that in Philippians chapter 3. Let me ask you something. What are you striving for today? Temporal things or eternal things? Folks are laying up treasures here on this earth, and the Lord is step by step taking them away. Finances are falling. Interest rates are rising. People can't buy houses. People can't buy cars. They can't do anything anymore. And all the things that they thought was so important are now they're finding out they're not so important after all. Listen, what are you striving for today? Are you striving for man's approval or for God's approval today? I want God's approval upon my life. Amen?
Amen.
I want God's approval. There's a story of a man, George Beverly Shea. You know the song he used to always sing, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. He was having some difficulties in making a decision about a job. And at the age of 23, he had to decide whether he was going to accept a secular job offering in a singing position in New York City with a great salary, with great wide respect, or he could continue singing in churches and on Christian radio programs. And his mother had been praying for him that he would make the right decision. And his mother laid on the piano one day a poem written by Rhea Miller. And he began to read that story. It was written in his mother's handwriting. And as he read that poem, he looked at it and his heart was moved. And as he sat at the piano, he began to compose the music for that song and began to play as a melody in his mind and in his heart. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Folks, let me ask you today, What are you wanting in your life? What are you striving for today? Would you rather have men's applause or would you rather have God's approval? Let me share with you the last thing. Don't be afraid that God can use you. God can use you. You say, but preacher, you don't know how I've failed the Lord. You don't know how I've tried and I've tried to do what was right and I've tried to serve the Lord. But preacher, I've failed him so many times. Look here at Luke chapter 5, the latter part of verse 10. The Bible said here, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. Don't be afraid, Simon. I know you've not trusted me. I know that you failed me. I know that there's been hard times in your life. Fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Fear not to trust the Lord. Fear not to obey the Lord today. Fear not to do what God has commanded you and saved you to do. And fear not to believe that God will take care of you. Let's bow our heads just a moment. Child of God, let me ask you something here. Are you trusting God tonight? The psalmist wrote in Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. We read it earlier. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what the psalmist was saying? God is faithful. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, I can't serve the Lord. I can't do what I feel like God wants me to do. The Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ, amen, which strengtheneth me. Fear not to follow the Lord. David wrote in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Child of God, don't be afraid to launch out into the deep. Don't be afraid to bring your ship to land and give all you've got to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my life. Then maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Maybe you're watching through the internet tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I beg you, don't be afraid to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Don't be afraid to follow the Savior and place your faith and trust in Him. He can change your life. He can make your life new, but you have to let Him do it.